Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. Oh my goodness. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here this morning with my wonderful, wonderful husband and spiritual guru, Dr. Reggie Johnson. Hey, Dr. Reggie.
Hey, Cynthia.
Oh my goodness. We are your hosts this morning as we continue our book study of spiritual partnership. But guess what? Today is Thursday, Coaching Corner Day. So if you have questions in particular with regard to relationships and the book that we're doing, and you're trying to apply these principles to your in your life, and maybe you're saying, you know, this happened to me and how should I deal with it, go ahead and give us a call. We'll talk about it today. And I really want to reach out to Michelle. I hope she's listening in this morning, because I know she is trying to move through some things. And so, Michelle, I just want you to know that we are praying for you. And, you know, if you feel comfortable, go ahead and give us a call this morning. All righty. We're talking about who?
Gloria Wells.
Oh, that's right. Gloria. How can I leave Gloria out? Good morning, Gloria. Gloria Wells is our co-host, and she moderates the chat room. And thank you, Dr. Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to go ahead and take us into our morning prayer so we can get this party started.
Heavenly Father, we are here with humble hearts and open and receptive minds for the lessons that we're learning today. Give us the power to reach out to people to do wonderful coaching and uplift them and empower them to know who you are, to know who you are and your service and your glory and everything that we do. And we ask that everyone listening will be empowered naturally when they hear the words of power and the words of wisdom and the words of encouragement, that they will do so and be enlightened. We thank you for all of your gifts and all the things you give to us and all the people who are listening, that they feel the energy of your love and feel the energy of this charge, that they become electrified with your spirit in the Holy Spirit's energy. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. So let's get started. First of all, if you have a question or a comment this morning, go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, we're just going to jump in and continue our lesson. And now, yesterday, we covered a lot of ground yesterday because we talked about the five sensory relationship, the five sensory humans and their relationships, which are friendships. He really kind of qualified them as friendships. And he defined these friendships. He gave examples that your friends really, they will jump on whatever bandwagon you're going through. So if you're angry, they will support you in your anger. Or they'll try to coddle you. Or if you, and he gave the example of his grief, where he was grieving, and rather than people trying to coddle him through this or and feel what he was going through, empathize with him, that they shifted him and said, let's go have some dinner, and to pull him completely out of this stupor of grief that he was in. So that's the That, and in giving that example, he was saying that that was a spiritual partnership because they didn't go along with his with what he was going through. So yesterday we were beginning to show the contrast between a friendship and a spiritual partnership. And the major difference is that the spiritual partnership is where you are in agreement that you are going to accept responsibility for your own personal growth, but this person is in the game with you. So they may not go along with your stuff. Remember I told you yesterday that Dr. Reggie said, I'm not here to pacify you. Here I was going through some major drama, and I wanted him to pet me and say, oh, baby, it's all right, and to hug me and say, don't worry about it. Oh, boo-boo, I know it hurts, but it's so, it'll be all right. He said no, because he wanted me to begin to take responsibility for what I was feeling. And I mean, it was so harsh the way he said it. I am not here to pacify you. So, but what he was really doing was building me up to take responsibility for my feelings. Gary Zukav says that we have to have the courage to go into the dragon's lair, meaning to go inside and to really deal with our dragons. He says, you know, he's defining these dragons as your anger and your jealousy and finding fault and drinking alcohol, all of these things that you do to really just tear yourself apart, that you need to go and face those dragons and kill them. And within a spiritual partnership, people are not holding your hand through this process. They're encouraging you to go into the dragon's lair. So let's move on. He says, and I'm just going to roll back. You know, I like to roll back because these lessons, you know, to kind of get us into the flow again. He says, in mythology, the dragon comes and goes as it chooses, destroying all that is beautiful and killing every warrior it meets until a hero appears who is willing to risk his life for the king and the kingdom. Only he can kill the dragon, if anyone can, and he must do it alone. That is the hero's journey, and only those with courage and commitment can take it. The journey is always long, it's always difficult and frightening, but the hero encounters challenges never experienced before and must call upon his strength and his clarity and determination again and again and again until at last the dragon is dead. And then he returns triumphant and the land becomes peaceful and prosperous. You're the hero. You're the one that has to go in and face the terror of that dragon. No one else can do it. And the minute you stand up to it, there's nothing but peace. So your dragons are the frightened parts of your personality, and you alone can experience and heal them. Because when the cause of your agony is inside, you must go inside to find and change it. Whether you are young or elderly, male or female, religious or not religious, the journey to your full potential will be long, it's going to be difficult and frightening, but only you can make it. You see, five sensory friends, they look for causes of their suffering outside of themselves. In their failed relationships, in their illnesses, in their betrayals, and their bad luck. They change friends and circumstances, but they do not change themselves. And so their interactions with new circumstances and friends produce the same painful experience. This is what they call a horizontal path. Their dragons remain. But see, spiritual partners, they take a vertical path. Why? They change themselves. They slay their own dragons. And they do not wait for the impossible, for others to slay their dragons for them. Individuals in pursuit of authentic power are courageous. Just like a mighty warrior. But their goals are different. Their purpose is to recognize the armor they wear, such as irritability and righteousness and superiority and inferiority. And then they have to remove it to find the weapons that they hold, such as anger and jealousy and vengefulness. And then they put them down. This is the spiritual path, is it not? These individuals naturally form relationships with others who share their purpose. And the relationships that they create are spiritual partnerships. And spiritual partners, they do not seek allies to change circumstances. Why? That's outside. That's external power. They're looking for fellow travelers on the journey toward wholeness. The journey towards wholeness means that I'm healing from the inside out. I want someone to take that journey with me. And therefore, I am gaining my authentic power. Wow. Listen, courage, integrity, and commitment. Write those words down. Courage, integrity, and commitment. We got a big issue with commitment. We'll cover that later in the book. Courage, integrity, and commitment. Courage, integrity, and commitment to their own spiritual growth attract them to one another and keep them together. Courage, integrity, and commitment. They trust one another enough to explore their fear and their love together. They are brave enough to probe the depths of intimacy. You know, now, if we just put this in the context of a love relationship, and if anybody out there is saying, oh, I really want to love, I want to be in love, the relationships don't work today because of lack of courage, lack of integrity, and lack of commitment. You know what commitment means to the average person today? Oh, I will do this as long as I get what I want out of it. And the minute it gets nasty, they're gone. The minute that their needs are not met, which is in the external power, they're out of there. It may turn to where they just start switching off while they're still in a relationship, and they're just not giving anymore. There's no commitment there anymore. There's no integrity there anymore. They just shut down in the relationship, and eventually it just disintegrates. That's the average relationship today. Because the person is seeking external power. You have to have courage. Multisensory perception gives spiritual partners an impersonal perspective of themselves and their interactions. They no longer see their relationships as a means of masking pain, but as vehicles to explore and to heal the causes of it. The limitations of friendship confine them. Look, and you know what? Now I see it so clearly why I was in these past relationships with these men, and this is how I worded it. I didn't know any better at the time, but this is what I said. You know what? This is I don't make them wrong. I had to grow to this, okay, to get moved to this level of consciousness. I said they could only love me the best way that they could, but it wasn't enough for me. And really what I, now when I look back on it, I realize that it was a very surface relationship, and I really wanted a soul relationship. I really wanted a spiritual partnership. And what I felt from these people was it just wasn't deep enough. I didn't know the words. They were good people, I guess. Yes, all people are good. But I was looking for something deeper. And my brother said, "You're looking for a fantasy." And why would he say something like that? Because people are not courageous enough. They don't have the integrity or the courage or the level of commitment to go that deep. Our relationships in general are very superficial. It's based on how someone looks. It's based on how much money they have. It's based on whatever their job is. How many women go out and are looking for? I have friends in the olden days. I don't know what they do these days. But when I was out in my 20s and 30s, my friends were looking for doctors and lawyers. It was a status symbol to be married to a doctor. How shallow is that? So here we are working with these, going after all this external power. And even during that time, we were evolving as humans. We're evolving now as humans. We have to get something deeper. And there must be some truth to this, because you can see that 70% of marriages fail. It doesn't work anymore. Those old rules don't work anymore. Then he says that spiritual partners, that they want more than company and security. They want to grow spiritually. They want to heal the frightened parts of their personalities and cultivate the loving parts. They are not content with controlling their anger in order to keep their relationships together, much less allowing it to devastate their relationships and their aspirations. They want to have the freedom to express all of that, but then to explore, why am I feeling this way? What part of me is pushing that button of anger? He says, they are not content with controlling their anger in order to keep their relationships together. They intend to locate and remove the source of it within themselves. And then he gives an example. When friends have a painful disagreement, each believes that the other causes her pain, and that if only she can get away from the other, she will be happy again. But see, spiritual partners know that others do not create my pain, but they trigger sources of it within themselves. Those are the frightened parts of their personalities that existed prior to their disagreement. And in fact, prior to their partnership. So instead of blaming one another for painful experiences, such as anger and sadness and feelings of inadequacy, spiritual partners see one another as colleagues in spiritual growth, and that they activate the frightened and loving parts of one another's personality so that each can heal the frightened parts of his or her own personality and cultivate the loving parts. So that means when the anger rises in your mate or your friend, do you run? Do you say, I can't be bothered with this loony tune? No. If you are in a spiritual partnership, you're going to take a deep breath. You can't react to the anger. You have to take a deep breath. Let them fully express that anger. And then maybe at a different time, say, you know, you lashed out and you at me. And I just want to find out why. I think it's important that we talk about what happened and why. Now you got to communicate. And it's so easy when one is losing their mind briefly for you to just sit back and say, okay, she's losing her mind, or okay, he's losing his mind at this point. Let me just let him go through that, and then at another time, we'll talk about it. But you see, in this external power relationship, when that anger flares up in that friend, you're going to react to that anger, and then, and if it's an argument, you're trying to prove you're trying to gain external power by proving you're right. They're trying to prove that they're right, and they're just going at each other, and there's no growth. Do you see why it takes courage and commitment? You know, I think the easiest way to do this is that when a person is acting up and briefly going, becoming a Looney Tune, that you don't see that part of them. You see underneath that where there may be some pain and anguish going on. And then you go deeper and you see beyond that where there is this beautiful soul that is part of God. Just take a deep breath. You know, even when you're dealing with people on the phone and they're not cooperating, you know, when you call customer service and they have them in robot mode and they're not hearing what you're saying and you get really frustrated, I go through that. Take a deep breath. First of all, they're just doing their job. They're doing what they were told to do. But underneath, there is this beautiful, beautiful soul that is a reflection and a part of God. See that and breathe on that truth. And if you're going to say anything, come from that space. Because the one thing I know about each and every one of you, you honor and love God. And so once you move to that point where you're holding in your mind, you're putting your hand underneath this small ball of energy that's inside that person, that is their pure divinity, that is their link to God, and you're holding it in the palm of your hand, then you can talk to that person in love. Not anger. You're not reacting to their anger. But you're responding in love. I get very quiet. Sometimes Dr. Reggie may get a little frustrated. He's gone through a lot. And I will get very, very quiet and take deep breaths and only see that loving, divine perfection within him. And then I'll talk from that place. The bond between spiritual partners is as real as the bond between mature friends, but for significantly different reasons. Because friends seek to support, they seek support from one another when they are buffered by the winds. But spiritual partners want to know where the winds come from. Friends want to contain the fire. Spiritual partners intend to put it out. Friends bond to ease the journey. Spiritual partners bond to grow spiritually. Friends fear painful interactions, but spiritual partners take responsibility for their experiences, and they use them to learn about themselves. Friends don't rock the boat. Spiritual partners love to swim. Friends construct comfort zones, but spiritual partners align their personalities with their souls. Wow. Do you guys see the difference? Do you see the difference? He gives this example. He says that when Linda and I first became spiritual partners, some of our power struggles lasted for weeks because we created emotional distance from each other. And I was shocked at her stubbornness. She resisted my micromanagement, and her rigidity angered me. And my insistence angered her. And I fought to control her, and she fought to control me in difficult and unwinnable contests. And my most painful experiences came not from losing power struggles, but from winning them. The forced submission, buried resentment, and growing the distance between us made hollow my every success. Every victory was actually a defeat. I did not stop to think that my perceptions of Linda might be filtered through my fears, which they always were, or that she might have different intentions than I assumed, which she sometimes did. He still can't give it up, can he? So my goal was to win, and so was hers. Like two gladiators, each armed with weapons of choice, the frightened parts of our personalities were engaged with each other. They weren't coming from their divinity. They were coming from their fear. There's that F word again. Fear. She armed with withdrawal or tears or a steely smile that pierced my heart, parried my every use of anger, blame, and judgment, and back and forth we sparred, hurting one another, becoming more frightened with each clash. And sometimes we exchanged weapons. She attacked with anger, and I countered with withdrawal. But still, we still get into power struggles, but they last minutes instead of weeks. And isn't that what I've said to you before, that once you've uncovered your dragon or your demon, you know, it doesn't mean that it doesn't come back and try to rear its ugly head again, but you quickly recognize it. Because it's a process to shift to a higher vibration. So he says, each time I see how quickly Linda is able to challenge the frightened parts of her personality that bristled with defiance and brooded or deprecated herself and instead relate to me with loving parts of her personality that are patient and caring and wise, I am in absolute awe because I know the courage that she plumbs to challenge those parts of her personality by responding instead of continuing to react. Respond. Look at the word respond. It really is has the root of responsibility. R-E-S-P-O-N Responsibility. Okay? Taking responsibility instead of just reacting. Because he says, I know the strength and tenacity of the frightened parts of my personality. The dragon is powerful. The dragon is powerful. So each time that she ends a power struggle with her commitment and responsible choice, even if it's a frightened part of my personality that wants to continue it, she models a conscious, determined, deliberate return to love. And each time I find and choose love again after a journey into anger and disdain, I model the same. These are momentous accomplishments. They are journeys that spiritual partners help one another take. Spiritual partners support one another with their courage and their commitment to create authentic power, not with knowledge or belief or teachings. They do not quote authorities. They do not recite passages or make one another wrong. They are drawn forward by their intention to grow spiritually, not pushed from behind by their fears, such as the fear of losing one another and the fear of not meeting expectations. They do not persuade or convert or entice or seduce or convince. These are the pursuits of external power, because these endeavors are counterproductive. You cannot heal the fear of another, and no one can heal yours, but you can inspire others with your emotional awareness, your responsible choices, your intuition, and your trust in the universe. And anyone can do the same for you. I can't change you, but I can be a light for you. I can demonstrate my love for you. Spiritual partners do this for one another. They are together because of their choices, not their weaknesses. You love them despite themselves. My father put it, I love my dad. And I've shared this quote with you before, because my dad would, I would go, and Reggie did so-and-so. But my father was wise. He said, baby, you have to love that part of him too. He coached me into being a spiritual partner. Love. Whenever you bring that L word in, it's shifting you into that spiritual path, is it not? Love that part of him too. Love the part that's frightened. Love the part that's angry, that has resentment. Because why? Underneath that, just like I said, I take a deep breath and I go below all of that. And I get to, and I hold that divinity. I see it in my mind as this little small golden ball of light that's inside of him, and I hold it in the palm of my hand, because I love and honor God. I love and honor the divinity in you. He says that spiritual partners, they intend to change themselves. They want to change themselves, not the other person. They distinguish love from need and care from compulsion and fulfillment from success and joy from happiness, and strive to make healthy choices. In other words, you're shifting from the external to the authentic, from the external power to the authentic power. Need is coming from fear of not having. Fear-based. Love comes from total security. Care comes from fear. I'm sorry, care comes from love, but compulsion comes from fear. Being fulfilled means that you have meaning in your life. It's coming from love. It's coming from a place of love. Success is coming from external power. Joy from happiness. So all the frightened parts of your personalities, they surface in your relationships, in your partnership, and sometimes in concert because they hold the intention to heal them. These are the same parts of the personality that individuals of old type relationships try to suppress and repress and deny or ignore. The parts that are disruptive in their intentions and destructive in their actions. You know, this, I'm sorry to stop this at this moment, but what just flashed in my mind, I remember earlier relationships where you're like, oh, okay, I don't want them to know this part of me. You're trying, you know, you put on your best face when you meet someone. Because you know if they see the ugly parts of you, they're going to run. That just flashed in my head. In a spiritual partnership, you show the ugly part first. And say, don't run. If you can handle my ugly part and hang in here with me, we're okay. Anyway, it just flashed in my head. Listen, if you guys have a question or comment, we're going to quickly close this out. Please press 1 on your telephone keypad. I really want to hear from you guys. I really do. And how this chapter is impacting you, because it's really rolling around in my head. I'm going back to my 20s, and I'm just laughing about it, what I went through. So, and I hope you guys are going through the same thing, because it's your growth. You know, when you can look at that and say, oh, yeah, now remember that. And then look at your relationships now. I want to hear from you. Please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Or call in. Our number is 914-338-0590. I definitely want to hear from you this morning. Okay? Spiritual part. Oh, okay. Here's someone calling in. Area code 813, you're on the air.
Good morning, it's Gloria, good morning.
Hey, Gloria, this is a new number, huh?
Yes, it is. Welcome back, guys. I'm glad you guys had a good time off, and I'm glad you're back. I actually had a question about a lot of times throughout the chapter. Gary Zukav talks about the difference between people, or he talks about people pleasing. And my question about that is, for me, I've always thought of myself as a person with a generous heart, you know, one who gives and where I can. And I'm wondering what the difference is between that people pleasing and just being a generous hearted or a giving person. You know, how do you differentiate between I'm people pleasing, or I'm acting from who I know I am, you know? So that's my question.
I think that's a good question. First of all, I think, and Dr. Rich, you can chime in here too. When you are trying to please the person, just you're trying to seek approval from that, and that is the number one thing. You want their approval.
I believe that too, but I also believe that when you're giving, truly giving, you give without expectation.
Exactly. But I agree with you there. Giving, there's no expectation, but people pleasing, there's some expectation.
That's right.
And that is the approval.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So that without giving, without expectation is how I'm differentiating then.
That's right.
People pleasing versus, okay, all right. That answers my question because I do give without that expectation.
Very good.
But
you're doing what the Bible tells you to do, and that's a good thing.
Okay.
That's truly giving.
Yes.
And you got to give and receive without expectation. We receive, God is giving back to you. And do that gloriously and happily in both instances. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else? Press 1 on your telephone keypad. All righty. Well, you know, the clock in our studio has been off today, so I don't know if we're still streaming or not. So if no one else has a question or comment this morning, I am going to go ahead and ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer.
Mm. As we breathe the gift of life, Father, we thank you. This was a powerful message. And I thank you for the analogy of the dragon, which is very spiritual to me, you know, to my heart. It's a very powerful energy in Chinese zodiac. It also represents the four elements. The dragon walks the earth, so that's the power of earth. The dragons breathe fire, and that's the element of transmutation and fire. They can fly, that's the element of air, and they cry and hurt, that's the element of water. I thank you that they are our pets. We transform them by our faith and courage. We have the power to tame our dragons as pets. Let us learn to use the power of faith and courage that we can face everything, but we have to do it in love. And I thank you for the power that you gave us in our hearts to have the capacity of love in every aspect of transmutation. Let us walk by faith, honestly, and not by sight. We give without expectation. We live in abundance. We live in the power of joy. And we transform with love. We believe it is so. And so it is.
And so it is. Oh, wow. Thank you guys so much. This has been such a powerful lesson for me. I've really enjoyed it. I hope you have too. Peace. I want to give you the closing paragraph from this chapter. Because he talks about having courage to be drawn into the gap, into the chasm. Because every seeker of truth is. You're drawn to face your dragon. Every truth seeker is. And when you are unaware of your choices, you remain in fear. And when you are aware of your fear, you are able to choose differently. You are able to inject consciousness into an otherwise unconscious process. Your spiritual partners help you to do that, and you help them. And the more frequently you make the leap, the more practice you become at it, and the less you fear it, the choice of love instead of fear becomes a continual part of your experience. Thank you.